issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues, Etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues, Etc. What does this mean?
Speak on earth, your servant listens.
The first stanza of the hymn, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens, it is based upon the words in 1 Samuel 3:10, where this young boy, in the middle of the night, being called by God himself, is finally instructed by the old man who he is caring for, the old high priest Eli, to respond, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens. And what the Lord will say to him is a word of judgment and a word of promise. This is Samuel. He is already serving the Lord from the time of his childhood, right there in the holy place, and yet his birth is somewhat miraculous. It sounds a lot like many of the stories that we've been studying as we do these Sunday school lessons with Pastor Tom Baker. A barren woman gives birth to a child. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest for the remainder of this Monday afternoon, Issues, Etc. He's Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
A lot of these do sound alike. Many of these stories from the Old Testament, we could add even more to the list, have a barren woman that gives birth to a child. What are all these instances, including the birth of Samuel the prophet, pointing toward?
They're all pointing towards Jesus, and in fact, in this small section which we have of Samuel, which is only three chapters, Jesus actually is six times mentioned. But the main point, I think, that we want to get across here is something kind of interesting, that when one thinks of God's means, almost everybody jumps to the means of grace, but there are actually two means that Jesus uses. One is the means of grace, and the other one is really all about what these three chapters are that not only Samuel is to use, but Jesus uses, and that's the means of rebuke.
Okay, and that's part of the bigger story here that we'll get into.
Yes.
The story starts with Samuel's parents, and it says in verse, and I'm intrigued by this, his mother, who is Hannah, is in fact barren, and it says in verse, oh golly, it says in verse 6 of the first chapter there, her rival, that is her husband's other wife, used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. She's barren because God had done it. What's going on there?
Well, nothing happens in the Bible that God either wills or permits. So there is a reason that's going on here. In that day, if you were barren, it meant that you were kind of being cursed by the Lord. And by the way, I didn't really realize this. How many children did Hannah end up having?
I don't know.
Six. Four sons. The first one was Samuel, and three daughters, and two daughters. Isn't that something? I never really realized it until I got it. I mean, I read it, you know, we read the Bible all kinds of times at the seminary, but it was just one of those little facts. She had six children. So I think the other wife was the one that God put in her place because she kept irritating Hannah. It was kind of like Ruth when she came back and she had no sons anymore and nobody to take care of them, and she felt so despondent that she called herself bitter. Well, Hannah prayed to the Lord, and through Eli, God said he would fulfill her wish.
So that brings her to the doorpost of the temple where she is there weeping and crying, it says in verse 10, so deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow to the Lord, saying in verse 11, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. What is she asking for and what's she promising there?
She's asking to have a son, but that she will really put it on loan to the Lord. And in fact, that's kind of an interesting Hebrew word there used, to loan. We often do it in stewardship. The gifts will come up, and I say, we give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone. And then I change it, on loan, O Lord, from thee. And it's the same word used in 1 Samuel 1:28 that she's going to lend him to the Lord, which means that he would be in the Lord's house forever. Because of our understanding of Samson, it means that she was probably making a vow that he would be a Nazarite. And the reason that Eli thought she was drunk probably is because the very last word in Judges, and remember, Samuel is going to be the last judge. It says, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so he probably was accustomed to seeing inebriated women come into the temple and do strange things. And so he thought she was drunk, particularly in light of the fact as he came to find out what his sons were doing to the women who came to the temple.
So give us a little bit of that story, because that helps us understand eventually the word of judgment that God is going to deliver through Samuel, even though he's just a little boy hearing from the Lord for the first time in the temple. How bad are things with Eli the high priest and his sons?
Well, all you need to do is go to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel and take a look at verse 12. And what it says here is, the sons of Eli were worthless men. Other translations have corrupt. They did not know the Lord. These are sons of Eli. Even though they're sons of the priests, they're unbelievers. And therefore, when people would bring the sacrifice, there was a method whereby the priest could take part of the sacrifice to eat, but they made deals with the people before they brought the sacrifice as to get to the best parts of the sacrifice. And they also stole money, and they lay also with women who came to the temple, who were kind of guarding the front doors and such. So these were really corrupt men, and they were the sons of Eli.
Okay, this is, let's see, in chapter 1, verse 22, she actually does have this child.
Yes.
And she does deliver him. She says in verse, it says in verse 21, but the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. She really is going to take this child, and weaning, I assume, would happen at, what, 2 or 3 years old, and give him away.
Yes, at 3 years old is the normal time that he would be taken to Eli. And it was an interesting custom at that time when the wives would make a vow to the Lord, as she did, the husband was also bound to the law, or to the vow, so that he was going along with this, and he didn't have any problem with that.
So this puts Samuel in the service of Eli the high priest. What would that have meant?
It would be kind of like an acolyte, or a lot of times, in the third year of the seminary, we go on what's called a vicarage or an internship, where we're now studying under a full-time pastor for about a year. And this is what is meant, by the way, in verse 18 of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. Now, that was a lesser garment than the priest actually wore, so he was kind of in practice to what the Lord would have him become, namely the priest and prophet.
So he's going to be, you just said, last judge. He's going to be priest, and he's obviously going to take on a prophetic role here.
Yes.
So it almost sounds a little bit, Tom, like prophet, priest, and king for Samuel.
Well, it's actually in the text itself. When you take a look, that Elkanah was a Zophite, and he was of a particular Levitical family from which God drew as priests. And so Samuel was able to therefore become a priest because he was of the house of the Levites. And of course, God was making him a prophet, and the kingship comes along in that he was going to be the kingmaker, because it was Samuel who would install the first king of Israel.
We've only got about a minute here. What do you make of the song that Hannah sings, or the prayer that she prays after she dedicates her son Samuel to service in the Lord's house?
Talk about a parallel to Mary's song in Luke chapter 1. Hannah begins, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Hannah says, "Because I rejoice in your salvation." Mary says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." "The bows of the mighty men are broken," says Hannah. "He has put down the mighty from their throne," says Mary. In other words, this is a beautiful example of the song of Mary with the reversals that God brings. The most important one being in Hannah, which is long gospel, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, October the 29th, talking about Old Testament judge, prophet, priest, Samuel, looking at 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3. Stay tuned.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues, etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues, etc. What does this mean?
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, etc. Issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, etc.
Well, Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest director of development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're looking at the Old Testament prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3. Tom, the story picks up there in the middle of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, where an unnamed man of God is sent to the high priest Eli to kind of forewarn him about what will eventually come as an edict from God through Samuel, too, about his two sons and about his place as high priest. What does it say?
Yes, and a man of God normally means a prophet from another area came to Eli, and he basically tells him that his sons are going to be, they're going to die because of their rebellion, and that his own house will really be put to shame. And he will cut off the strength and the strength of the father's house, and in distress you will be there, and they're going to die on the same day. And it's really kind of interesting here. He shall go, I will build, though, a sure house, the Lord says, and he shall go out and before my anointed forever. It just so happens that that word anointed, this is the first time that it appears in the Bible. It first appeared in 1 Samuel 2:10. And when you look at the Greek, Septuagint, it's the word for Christ. And if you look at the Hebrew, it's the word for Messiah. It's the first time it appears in the Old Testament books, and God uses it twice. And this second anointed is in the singular, which wouldn't refer to the prophets, but to Jesus himself.
So this is kind of a telescoped kind of a promise, that this isn't just a promise about him replacing Eli and his sons with the faithful priest Samuel, but with Jesus himself.
Well said. Exactly. Jesus is everywhere in this thing.
Well, here we go into chapter 3, the one that most people know. The story of this young man who is by night keeping a watch over the lamp of God in the holy place, and then the Lord starts calling to him. But there's a curious thing in here that's explained a little later in the story that I want you to explain. It says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. What do you think that means?
Because the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. You always look at the context. So there's two ways to know the Lord. You can know him by faith, which he did have, but he didn't know him in this personal sense, like Mary got to know him through the angel Gabriel and then was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That is a rare thing at the time of Samuel, where the word of the Lord was revealed. People were just reading the scriptures they had, but this was going to be a new knowledge where he would now be in a conversation with the Lord.
Now, it actually is God calling him. He mistakes it for Eli's voice. Eli says,
yes,
I'm not calling you. And then a curious thing here. At first, it's just the Lord calling from him in the direction of the Ark of the Covenant. And then it says in verse 8, then the Lord came and stood calling as other times, Samuel, Samuel. It sounds like the Lord's presence is really there with Samuel.
Yes, and when that's the Lord, you're usually referring to the second person of the Trinity in his pre-incarnate state.
So we should picture here, if we picture something, not just a disembodied voice, but Christ appearing, however he does here, in the temple, rightfully in the holy place of the temple, to speak with his prophet.
In the same way he did with Abraham and the two angels, where they actually had a meal with Abraham. And in the same way with Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 24, where they saw God and they ate and drank with him. But this has been a long time since then, and so this is now Samuel getting to know the Lord. And I'll tell you, this is such a beautiful thing. It really tells you the essence of a pastor. The essence of a pastor isn't so much to speak, but first to listen. And in our old hymnal, Lutheran Worship, Professor Nagel said this in the introduction. I'll never forget this. He's talking about worship and how we listen to the Lord. It says, our Lord speaks and we listen. His word bestows what it says. Faith that is born from what is heard acknowledges the gifts received with eager thankfulness and praise, saying back to him what he has said to us, we repeat what is most true and sure. And that was Eli's problem. The Lord had made very clear how the sacrifices were to be done, and Eli did not speak the word of the Lord to his own sons, and that's why he's held accountable. He should have fired them as soon as he found out, but he just kind of reprimanded them a little bit and let them continue their revelry, and that is why God brought the wrath upon him.
So when Samuel listens, the Lord speaks a word that seems pretty heavy for a little kid to hear.
Yes,
he's even afraid. He's afraid to tell Eli what he's heard. What is it?
Exactly. It's the second means I like to talk about. It's the means of rebuke that God has. It's the law. The law comes first to rebuke in order to wake us up to the fact that we are lost and condemned forever, which then brings in the gospel. But the gospel isn't going to be heard by these sons because, as Jesus says, you don't throw pearls to the swine, referring to the swine as those who stay in a state of unrepentance, refusing to listen to the word of the Lord and instead listening to what they want to do. And that's very important for children. We're teaching children this Sunday school lesson. What they need to hear is their parents really love them, as well as do pastors, when they also use the means of rebuke as well as the means of grace.
That's not a very popular thing to say or for pastors, advice for pastors nowadays, is it, Tom?
I tell you, I can't tell you how many calls I get from lay people who are in churches where the pastors won't speak the word of God, say against abortion or homosexuality, and the lay person will ask, well, why aren't you speaking against this? He says, well, it's going to divide the congregation. And so there are definitely Eli pastors today who, because of either money problems or because of fear of division, they are not keeping the word of God pure in their supervision activities, and God is going to hold them accountable. In fact, there's this tremendous verse in Ezekiel chapter 3, Son of man, I made you a watchman. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth. And when you say the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning when I tell you, nor speak to warn the wicked to save his life, he'll die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. I think Samuel's a beautiful picture for pastors today to not be concerned about anything but speaking the word of God in its purity and administering the sacraments rightly.
So when the rightful pastor, so to speak, here, Eli and his sons, are abusing the office that God has put them in,
yes,
God raises up this little kid who hears more clearly from God, and in many ways, suddenly the word of the Lord is kind of unstopped. He hears from him continually then from that point on. It sounds like if someone isn't going to speak God's word or hear it and speak it, then God will find someone who will.
Yes, because remember, we're in that cycle of rebellion, retribution, repentance, rescue, and rest of the whole book of Judges. This is the last one, but it still continues today. And just to make a real quick point, I know we're running out of time. I already talked about the word anointed for the first time and the word loan, but the meaning of Hannah is grace, and the meaning of Samuel is his name is El, which is God. Some people are familiar with the hymn El Shaddai, God Almighty. But the thing I found most interesting after I figured out Hannah had six children, Todd, is I never knew that we get the word Amen at the end of all of our hymns from 1 Samuel 3 verse 20, where it says, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet from the Lord, and that word established in the Hebrew is amen. and it refers to his ordination or consecration, so that when we say amen at the end of a prayer or at the end of a hymn, what we're saying to God, that we pray that he will consecrate our prayers and whatever we're asking for in the same way that he established Samuel and, of course, Jesus as the prophet from the Lord.
Next week, we're going to talk with Tom about King Saul. Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, if you appreciate our weekly Sunday school teachings with Pastor Tom Baker, please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. You can find out about the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. And if you join at the reformer or the patron level by November the 1st, or if you upgrade your current Reformation Club membership to one of these levels, we'll not only send you the premiums for those levels, but we'll also send you the 4-CD set titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. If you'd like to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, do so by giving Craig a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or send Craig an email, craig@issuesetc.org. craig@issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the Beatitudes. Pastor Kevin Golden and Dan Kistler will be our pastor's roundtable tomorrow on the program. The Lord appears and he speaks, and he calls upon us to listen in faith. We hear the word that creates this faith. We hear the word by which the Lord reveals himself to us. And whether it's that little boy in the temple or us in church, it is the same Lord, Jesus Christ, speaking. We listen to that word, his word of forgiveness and mercy, his word of law and gospel, and Christ himself is revealing himself to us. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.